Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Welcome, welcome to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I am so glad to meet you today. I'm so glad that you've joined us for a very important topic. One thing about a mother's love, it is so critical. It's a critical component to a child's development. So what happens if one never experiences that love? What if they're rejected in some type of way? What happens? So just tune in to find out. Thank you so much again for being here. This is our opportunity. This is our opportunity to learn more about, you know, what life throws at us. One thing I found out is one thing about life, it has a way of helping us to transform, but most of all, to realize. We have to stay in an approach where we're always learning. We're always trying to find out more about, you know, this thing called life. So let's just say, because this is our topic discussion for today, is if there is not that component of motherly love that we was born with. You know, think about a mother. A mother is one that carries a child, you know, hopefully at term, without any complications, bring that child to earth, loving that child to the best of her ability, despite difficulty, going through a lot of consequential situations or whatever the case may be. And it molds that child, it molds that child's mind, it molds that child's inability, how it feels about itself. It does so much for a human being. But again, how have we never received that type of love? What would happen? You know, what would change in our life if we didn't receive a mother's love? Well, over the studies, over the years that I have experienced this, you know, not personally with myself, but with my clients and patients, I found that a person does have this low self-esteem, because love is an important component in our life. So sometimes what happens, not in all cases, one suffers with low self-esteem, low self-confidence, not having a lot of self-awareness, anxiety possibly could be a great factor in this person's life, even depression, because grief and loss is real. So think about it. That's something you lost along the way. So why would it not affect your life? It would. It would affect you tremendously. So how should one deal with that? How can one come back from such a most traumatic event? You know, and this, I just want to cover some factors before we go into how to rebound or recover or even heal from not having that in our life. Some components or some factors that affect this type of thing from not being done, you know, losing a mother in childbirth, possibly, you know, when death occurs, you know, in some type of way, unfortunate death or terminalized death of that mother, as well as a mother that has not had the motherly love from her mother. She may not give the love to her children correctly. One that has a lot of anxiety or depression or hidden anger, a mother that has a lot of these types of symptoms may not give love so freely. So environmental stimuli, you know, actually brought up in a domestic violence of some sort. That may also be a problem when the mother was brought up or lived in a domestic or family violence environment. It would make it very difficult for her to also give love. So as a mother is affected by life, then so will her children be affected. I even heard of a case where a mother was carrying a child, you know, far as in the womb, into utero, as one would say, and experienced a lot of trauma, a lot of trauma. So when the baby was born, the baby was very emotional, but most of all, you know, the mother was, it was very difficult for her to give, you know, love to her child because she was so traumatized. So in so many different ways, these things can happen. And I'm not trying to put a damper on it. What I'm trying to do is show you the different, you know, situations that this will occur. So one thing that we could do, and when we realize that we don't have our mother's love the way we feel we deserve it, is to look inwardly. A person can only love you within their components to give love. If they don't know how to give love, then it's very hard for them to show you love. So you have to show yourself love. You have to have self-compassion. You have to have self-awareness, self-discovery, because, again, if this is not something you was taught, you have to develop it on your own. It is not impossible. It is very doable. But you must have some type of awareness that you are lacking this wonderful thing called nurture. So one must nurture themselves. And if you never experienced that before, as far as nurturing, you nurture yourself by listening to your heart. You nurture yourself by listening to your mind and your spirit. It will let you know what it needs. You know, one should never self-defeat or take away from what they need the most. And that's called love. Love is the most wonderful thing. According to the biblical context, it says it overflows a multitude of sin. So we know that it is a powerful, powerful component in our lives. So it is very important for us to keep in mind that our love for ourselves is critical. It is extremely critical for it to continue in this life. So as we love ourselves, we discover something. We discover that we are stronger in our weakest hour, even in our pain. We are what they call resilient, and we continue to go, and we continue to live. And one thing about resilience, you know, it is going to continue to push you, even when you don't want to get pushed, even when you don't want to be bothered, it is still going to continue to keep you in a pace. It may be a lower pace, a slower pace, but guess what? You're going to keep on going. So let me encourage you today. If you did not have your mother's love the way you think you deserved it, don't be angry. Don't allow anger to take your joy away from you. Don't allow anger to damper your spirit. Know this, you are alive. You are well. You are stronger than you ever possibly could possibly imagine. You are worthy of your life. It doesn't matter what someone else has not given you. What matters is that you believe in yourself, that you know that regardless of what you don't have, you're going to give it to yourself. When you give it to yourself, nothing else matters. When you give it to yourself, it's something that no one can take from you, something that no one can say, oh, it's not yours, because they can't touch it. They can't move it. They can't, you know, put a damper on it. The only way that it doesn't happen is when you say it doesn't happen. When you say, I'm not worthy. When you say, I am not loved. But you are. If you believe in the Creator, the higher source, the God, whatever your chosen word is, if he can love you unconditionally, then guess what? So can you. You can love yourself unconditionally. Yes, you can. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we look at life as being this place without the love we need, without the acceptance, without the validation, without the appreciation. And we get so caught up in what's outside of ourselves. But when you allow yourself just to breathe through life, regardless of situation or circumstance, when you allow yourself to pick up all the broken pieces and put it where you want it, this is when life starts to change. You know what people do? And I learned this for myself over the years. We look outside of ourselves for love and happiness. It's not on the outside of you. You can look for it for eternity. You will not find it on the outside of you. It is on the inside. You know, God put it in a place where nobody else can tamper with, and you won't lose it. So allow yourself to say, self, what is it that you really want in life? What makes you happy? What makes you thrive? What makes you feel successful? It's not in another person that's walking this earth, y'all. It is in us. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. And again, if you don't feel that worthiness, pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and get back into this thing called life. Because guess what? It ain't going nowhere. Time is ticking. And as long as you got breath, as long as you got life, Look here, you can make it work for you. You know, this thing called the pandemic, it's so much to it, I tell you. But you can't even let that get in your way. That cannot stop you. So, again, our topic is not having a mother's love and not having the nurture that we felt we deserved. And, again, a mother can only give you the love that she can only give herself. So if there was a missing component in your life such as this, that means that you have to pick up the broken pieces because you are not damaged goods. That's what Dr. Dev's saying. You pick up your broken pieces because you are not damaged goods. No, no, baby. If anybody told you you wasn't worthy, you show them that you're worthy. But first you show yourself. You don't do it for anybody else. You do it for you. You know, one thing about when we go through these interchanges of life, when we don't have the things that we think we need to survive, you know, and that could be anything. Some people feel, you know, they need a loving person in their home, like a husband, a wife, some children, and that's when they'll be happy. Some people go and they look for an animal for their peace, you know, a dog, a cat, or whatever. Oh, yeah, that's when I'll be happy. That's right. Oh, I'll go and make all the money. Oh, yeah, that's right. Let my bank account overflow. That's when I'll be happy, you know. And we look at friends, you know, family. As long as family around me, oh, yes, that's when I'll be happy. But let me tell you something. To be honest with you, ain't none of that matter. You know why it don't matter? Because it's not always there. At some time, whether you have it or not, that thing, that person will be interrupted and they may not be there for you. So what happens if you feel you have to have that to live? It will dwindle. You will be affected mentally, emotionally, by not having that thing. So you have to realize that it is not about what's outside of you. It's about what you feel inside. It's inside of you that the greatest component of life. And that's what God knows. He knows, he said, if I put this gift on the inside of them, I know they got to seek it. Because that's what he says, seek it so you can find it. And sometimes we have to ask before it's given. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, okay, what is it that you really want? What is it that you're waiting for? You know, you're waiting for something to happen. But then he said also, we're more than conquerors. So if we're more than conquerors, don't you know you can conquer that thing that tries to overpower you? I don't care what it is. You can conquer it. And sometimes we have to move away from it so that we can get some traction. You know, when you're so deep inside of something that takes away life, it makes you feel that you're losing something, like you're losing your ability to thrive, because you are, because the energy is going into that thing. It's not going into the thing it's supposed to go into, and that's you. It's you. So just take a look. You know, take a look deep down inside. And sometimes, y'all, we got to get paper and pencil. We have to sit down and say, what is it that I really want? And write down the things that you don't want, and then let the things that you do want come out of your mind. And then you can come up with a plan. And you say, man, Dr. Dev, I don't have that type of time. I'm working each and every day. I'm doing this. I'm trying to do that. Well, when is the time going to be? Because you could go on a job and not be happy on that job, and you felt you wasted your life. You could take care of your children and give them everything they want, and they still don't be happy with you. You could satisfy your husband or your wife to the very end, and at some given point, they still is going to have an issue. Okay, what am I saying? That means all of the energy that you give, putting it out there, some of that energy needs to be for you. We only got 100%, y'all. That's it. 100% of ourselves. You know how many people give all of that out? All. And they want to know why they're so tired, worn down, depressed, have anxiety, feeling forsaken. Because you never gave none of that to you. You have to give it to you. That energy, that pleasure, that, you know, that productivity, that joy, you got to give to you. I know you want to make everybody else happy because that's how we are. We just want to be loved. We want to be accepted. So we figure, let me go out of my way. Let me do this for them because I know they'll be happy. And when they're happy, I'm happy. But then here they come again. Here they come again asking and expecting you to do the same things over and over and over. So guess what you're doing? You're giving and giving and giving. So what happens one day when you can't give it? What happens? What are you going to feel? Are you going to feel guilty? I don't know. What are you going to feel? Are you going to feel like nobody loves you when they reject you? It's like, why you didn't give that to me this time? Why didn't you give me this money? You know, you did it any other time. What are you going to feel? This is something you need to ask yourself. And please understand, I'm not telling you not to be there for people. I said you got to have limits and you got to have boundaries. You know, when you don't have limits and boundaries in your life, people will suck the life out of you. They will. They will suck. And it doesn't matter if they're your friends, your families, strangers. It doesn't matter. Because that's what people do. They do that to each other. They live this way because they don't know what they're doing. If they really did know that they're hurting each other, they would not do it. But again, one doesn't think for another person all the time. They only think for what they need. Oh, I need this for this person. I need that. So that's all that matters. You know, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to say it. And I hope that I'm going to get it. If I don't get it, well, I'll go to the next person and see if they're going to give it to me. Oh, my God. This is what we go through in life. And when we don't get it, oh, some of us get so angry. Ooh. We get so angry when we don't want, you know, when we don't want nobody else to give us no advice, love on us. And some people, when they get rejected, they lose their mind. You know those people. They don't talk to you no more. They treat you like a stranger, even when you was loving them and giving them everything you could. A lesson learned, beautiful people. A lesson learned. Never give all of yourself to anything outside of yourself. Never. Don't do that to you. Please don't do that to you. That is unnecessary pain. Unnecessary pain. And again, we got this thing called codependency. Codependency is where my world wraps around yours and yours wraps around mine, and I expect you to do things for me and you expect me to do things for you. And when those things don't happen, oh, we start colliding. Collision. We headed for a collision course. There it is, all over again. Pain, unnecessary pain. Now you struck emotionally. Now you're hurting all over again. So when does it stop? Don't you know when you don't have a mother's love, it can put you in a codependent lifestyle? Because, again, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. Because that was not given to you. And you felt rejected by the very component that was supposed to love you. So Dr. Dev is telling you something. I'm telling you that even if you don't have it, look at those habits in your life. Look at how you are responding to yourself and to others. That will let you know if you've been greatly affected. And you say, well, what if a mother is alive and she still is rejecting me? Not one that's passed on, because one that's passed on didn't have the opportunity to give you the love. And sometimes you are still affected by that as well. Well, the ones that are alive and still rejecting them, their loved ones, remember, a person can only give you love in their capacity to give love. If she never had the love that she needs, then it's a good chance that's the reason why she has not loved you. So if you're angry at her, if you have some unforgiveness or bitterness in your spirit against this woman, your mother, that's who I'm talking about, please allow yourself to be free. Allow yourself, give yourself permission to be free. Because otherwise, guess what you're going to do? You're going to stay in pain. You're going to be bitter. And that bitterness is going to turn toxic inside of you. And your children, you said, well, I'll never do my children like that. But if you are affected by your mother and not having the love from your mother, don't you know at some given point, it is going to happen. That is going to flow through you. It is going to flow through you. Thank you, Vieta Robinson. Hello, Queen. Grand Rising. That's what she said. She's like speaking truth about mothers. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're speaking the truth. And the thing about it is I'm not beating up on a mother because I'm a mother. Okay, we are all here on this earth, and none of us are perfect. But then some of us, we can be so harsh to our loved ones. You know, we can be so harsh. And, you know, and it's not a perfect way to give love. You know, love is, but it's not a perfect way to give it. It's not. But as long as you, as a mother, where you sit in life, and you come to your children and you tell them, I did what I thought I could do, the best I could do, and if you are not pleased with me, I understand. I can relate to what you're feeling, and I accept what you're feeling. So don't get angry. Don't get angry because that she didn't do it. Because sometimes they don't know, y'all. They just don't know. They don't know that they have greatly affected your life in some type of way. So, you know, just allow yourself to look at it a little bit closer, okay? Look at how your mother is. Look at what she went through, okay? And again, give her her praise now. Okay, give her her praise. If you see that she went through a whole lot of changes, you know, to get you the way you went, you know, sometimes mothers give some serious pain to us. You know, they give us some serious pain, and that's only to make us stronger. And it could, let's say, for example, you were a part of, you know, three children, and you look like you the only person that had the hardest time. And you say, well, why she put that on me? Why I got to, you know, watch over my children, her children, which felt like your children. You know what I mean. You didn't get the opportunity to go outside and play or hang out with your friends because you got to watch little Bobby or little Sue. You know what I'm saying? And you felt like, this ain't fair. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm talking to you. So you got angry. And she looked like she was doing that on a regular, right? I know. Sometimes it does happen. But when I will go to a commercial real quick. But when I come back, I want to tell you something about a mother that knows how to nurture but doesn't know how to give it. And we'll be right back.
The healing power of touch is what physical therapy is about. A recent survey said that physical therapy is good for the brain, and it can ward off Alzheimer's disease. And physical therapy is good for babies. And I'm in physical therapy for my stenosis in my back. So, but it's important for all ages, because biblically speaking, the laying hands on the body was not just good for the body, it was good for the soul. And during Hitler's reign of terror, he experimented on babies to see if he could make these perfect robotized people. So he had one group of babies that were only fed and changed. And the other group of babies, they were played with and talked to. And all those babies that only had food and being changed, they all died. And they called it harassment. A disease called erasmus. So, and many times, in conclusion, many times younger children aren't around older people, and older people don't get that physical touch that's so necessary to life. A lot of children aren't around older people because they're in nursing homes and senior citizens' homes. But seniors need that touch. Touch, as the experiment proved, is just necessary for good health.
Hello, everybody. I am your girlfriend, Julia Powell. When I'm online, I am going to the Female Solution, and you should too. I'll see you there.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me.
312-802-4743. Welcome back. Soulful Solutions with Dr. Dev, and I'm Dr. Dev. It's wonderful to be here with you today. Our topic for today is living without a mother's love and nurture, living without a mother's love and nurture. And I was talking to you prior about this, but please call in. If you have any comments or questions, to 515-605-9325. 515-605-9325, and hit 1 on your mic, and your mic will be open, and you can ask questions or concerns that you may have. What we were talking about earlier is, how do we deal with such a thing? How do we, you know, get through this life without that component of love? Remember, we are greatly affected by it, whether we realize it or not, because love is a nurturing component of a child's development. And one needs that. They need to feel accepted. They need to feel nurtured. So sometimes when we do not have that in our life, it causes an array of emotions. Sometimes it causes us to be very unsure. Most of all, we are greatly affected by the ability to strive throughout life, like knowing what the right choice is to make, especially in relationships. Sometimes we get really inferior to other people. It changes the way a person even feels about themselves. So I just wanted to touch bases on some of those vital components that we most definitely need to have a productive life. Sometimes we feel that we are being pushed aside when we don't have that mother's love, that we don't have the what they call the thrive ability. So think about it. The commercials we were playing earlier are something very similar to what I was going to touch bases on, is when a child does not have that mother's love touch, sensory touch, are most of all just the embracing of words, gestures, behavior. It greatly affects that human being. It affects them in a way where they feel uncomfortable with even around strangers. You know, they feel that they have this inability to just kind of mesh with life. And they feel like they're always trying more, or you know, like life you have to work extra, extra hard to just keep peace in your life. So it is a component, again, that we so greatly need it. But you got to give it to you. Remember, what's inside of you is what counts. It's not what's on the outside of you. It's what's on the inside. Mm-hmm. I can recall my mother, and she was such a loving human being. She was a person that worked hard, and no matter what, she gave from what she had. You know, she gave my mom gave more love than money, because that's what I was. It was more love than money. So when that, she helped me. She helped me to know and see the value of life. Because it wasn't in materialistic things. It was in the non-materialistic, the non-tangible, you know. She wasn't perfect by a long shot, but she was there. And she always said, look on the inside of you, not on the outside of you for what you need. So our co-host is here, and I'm going to bring her on. That is Naima Latif. Look at that smile. You have, so your smile is just alluring, I'm telling you. I've never seen you without a smile. That's not what she always, because I smile all the time too, so I'm used to it. No, I am not. I'm going to have to come to Chicago and say, well, no, you gonna smile. You're just a natural, gifted person of joy. I mean, I think joy is a gift. It really is. You know, it is a gift. And as long as we hold on to it and never let it go, oh, my God. I couldn't even imagine. Can you imagine not having joy? Yes. 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 Right. Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. One of our viewers on Facebook says, Carolyn Hunter, the buying and purchasing of things is a temporary love, but it's more so also it's, and she also said, reset and come back to the joyful memories after life hits you hard. And I think that is a wonderful component of concept to have, because in this life we don't know, but what we do know is, as I said earlier, God put the gift inside of us of love. And even if we did not get it from our paternal or maternal, you know, components, biological, you know, parents, he has a way of actually guiding us, and he provides. He literally provides. He provides that ability through someone else. Someone else will come and give you what you need for that area. And that's not saying that you didn't have it. No, they stimulate it from the inside out.
Okay.
I'm going to hang this up.
Okay, yeah, that's... Yeah, I think we were. Oh, wait a minute.
1 second, y'all. We just had some technical difficulties. Because I know Vienna said that she couldn't hear on the phone line. Mm-hmm.
But
Facebook can hear very well.
Yes. Okay. So this is what I'm going to do so that we can make sure that we are both heard, and I apologize for not checking that, because I should have remembered.
It's okay. None of us are perfect. It's all right.
Yes.
I can hear Naima now. There she goes. She says she can hear you. Thank you, sister. I had to collect myself. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope you all can read lips, because, you know, all that stuff I said, I can't say it again. So for those who did, but she said you can hear on Facebook, but you can't hear on the phone. That's what it was.
That's what it was. Uh-oh. Somebody was, yes, and that was such a
50-second
spectacular.
We love our team. They always let us know when we have issues. So now I'm going to close this one.
Matter of fact, I can just hang you up. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Okay, wait a minute. Can you see? Oh, that was that one. Okay. All right, so now can you still hear me?
Oh, I can hear you.
Wonderful.
Yes, here on Facebook I can't.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that the listening audience can hear. So, Viata, can you hear me on the switchboard now?
Yes. I can hear you on the phone. I've been going back and forth to Facebook because I couldn't. It was like I could hear anything except when Deb was talking. So now, yeah, everything's good.
Okay, thank you so much. We appreciate you for that.
Yeah,
so
I had a mother story I wanted to share.
Yes, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Debbie. When you were saying in the beginning, we got to learn to forgive our mothers, love our mothers, no matter what they did. And that's the process I've been in for 30, 40, 50 years. I don't know. Because my mother was an alcoholic most of my life. I don't remember a time in my youth when she wasn't drunk or using alcohol. She was an alcoholic from the time I was maybe a baby. So, you know, there's a group called Adult Children of Alcoholic Parents, right? I think there's AAAP or whatever. And I'm in that. I was in that group because I had all kinds of addictions. Now, food, first of all, living in a household with a mother who fed us food every day, three meals a day. We never went without regular food. But there was no nurturing, as you mentioned. There was no hugging. I never remember my mother hugging me or really in, building me up with kind words or helpful words. And my dad was very critical most of the time, but he was an amazing support of the family even after they divorced. So we didn't go hungry, except we had no true nurturing of the emotional nature. So everything you're talking about, I'm relating to in terms of growing up with an alcoholic mother who didn't give nurturing, and I ended up getting into all kinds of addictions, sex and alcohol and food and everything for a short period of time. But thankful that my journey and my assignment was not to stay in that addictive mode, but to grow and evolve into the person I am, more conscious and healthy today. So I'm just agreeing with you about, yeah, we got to forgive our mother. I had to forgive my mother. I have so much respect for her now of what she taught me about her addiction mainly and how I'm trying to help other people realize the root cause of that addiction. And it's usually trauma in the childhood some way, somehow. And so thank you for this topic. And I just felt led to share that my own story of mother, lack of mother nurturing, but yet, through the work I've done over all these years, have you overcome that? And you learn to be just grateful for what your mother did give, which was a very clean home. My mother was so clean. That's why I started a cleaning business, because I remember all the, how clean my mother, she taught me how to clean a house, that's for sure. And then she always fed us great meals. She could cook, but she just had that addiction that she couldn't really overcome. And then in the, her later part of her life, she did overcome it, but she developed cancer. So I ended up having a really close relationship with her at the end of her life. So it's all good. Forgive our mothers and learn the lessons and be grateful. Hallelujah.
Right.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes. Now, you remember Susan Taylor.
Yes, editor, Essence.
And this is her book that I bought, which is called All About Love, Favorite Selections from In the Spirit on Living Fearlessly. And, of course, I used to read that column in Essence religiously because it was always so deep.
Oh, yeah. All of us,
Yes. And you only get wisdom through experience in life. I just wanted to share a portion of the introduction of this book, and she talks about what things inside of her moved her to write that column. It says, A Bridge of Light. For more than 2.5 decades, In the Spirit, my monthly column in Essence Magazine has been something of a public diary. In those pages, I've shared my hopes, dreams, and passions and untangled the fears that sometimes took hold of me and caused me to do battle with myself. Along the way, I've learned that there is nothing in the world that stunts our lives like fear, and nothing that nourishes our spirit like love. As a child, I feared that my parents didn't love me enough. My mother's stern silence and my mother's constant criticism would hurt my heart. As a young professional, I feared that my tender heart would be viewed as weakness in the workplace, where destructive use of power is often equated with success. In my relationships, I feared saying yes and feared saying no. I was fearful of losing as well as of winning. When a close friend betrayed me, I shut down and became untrusting, refusing to reveal myself, even though I was desperately lonely and longing for love and connection. Fear is lethal. It kills hope and happiness, making us its plaything. Like a fungus, it flourishes in the dark. Writing in the Spirit has been my bridge of light. Examining each month the difficult issues we wrestle with has been clarifying and healing. Over time, I have written about personal events I thought I would never dare to share. None more painful than being thrown onto my own as a young single mother. My heart still aches when I remember that time. My first marriage crumbled when my daughter, Shauna, was a newborn, just 6 weeks old. I was 5 months pregnant when I discovered Billy was seeing Pam, the cute sister who worked for him in his Harlem beauty salon. Eventually, he just stopped coming home, and there was nothing I could do about it. I hurt so badly some days it was difficult to breathe. By that time, Daddy had died, and Mommy had her own financial and emotional woes, and I didn't want to put another burden on my bad. I was swamped with feeling of betrayal, sadness, and jealousy. And I was also mad as hell. Having a baby wasn't my idea, it was Billy's, and now he was gone. I hid my anguish from my family, but it was during this crisis that I learned to value deeply my faithful woman friends. How strengthening it is when you know sisters love you and have your back. My girl Peggy Ruffin was grown up in the Johnson Housing Project just around the corner from me in East Harlem. She stood strong by my side all through my pregnancy. Every day Peggy checked in with me. She'd come by to visit, invite me to dinner, cook for me. Lord knows she tried to pull me out of my misery. And though my beloved Trish Ramsey had already moved back home to Jamaica when my life seemed to be unraveling, her arms reached across the waters and held me tight. Trish's encouraging letters and affirming phone calls were constant. There are no gifts greater than compassion and kindness in time of need. My peg legs and Trishy taught me that. I also learned that everyone in our life plays a part in our development. Billy, too. He taught me that nothing is forever, that I was stronger than I knew, and ultimately I discovered the power in surrendering hurt and bitterness to forgiveness and gratitude. The end of our marriage also showed me that a woman must always have money on her own and should think long and hard before choosing to become a mother. These are some of the lessons I have written about over the years in the spirit. The column became as much about sharing my thoughts and struggles with our readers as it was about bearing witness to my own emergence. And in time, the spirit grew to be our private discussion, at once a knowing whisper between sisters and brothers too, and a gentle reminder that we are always securely in God's care.
Wow.
So
very well written. Very well written.
You see somebody who just seems to have it all together. Because I mean, I've seen Susan Taylor in person. You know, she came here and spoke and met her and everything, and she just seems to have it all together. Just so serene. But she's been through the fire, and she talks extensively in her book about how she had the kind of mother who just didn't have the capacity to show affection, and how painful that is when your mother can't show you any affection. And many of us have had that experience. Of course, Viata speaks about, you know, when your mother is not in her right mind, she can't be the loving mother you need. And it's painful as a child because you blame yourself. You think it's something lacking in you, the reason why they can't love you. And it's very, very painful. So, you know, we learn things through these life experiences. And I've discovered that sometimes when you're born into a family where affection is lacking and love is lacking, it's to show you what you don't want so that you will have a greater drive to reproduce what you do want, perhaps in your own children, in your own family. You can be that much more loving to your own children because you know what it feels like to not have love. And sometimes the best parents are the ones who receive the worst parenting. It's only if you can recognize that this isn't the way you want it, and then make a conscious decision to do the opposite. Otherwise, you end up repeating and recreating what you experienced. So we learn through opposites if we learn rather than imitate the bad that we don't want to recreate. If we learn that this isn't what we want, and then we learn how to create what we do want, then even that bad experience can be for our greater good.
Absolutely. Well, that's actually a quote from the Word of God. I'll take the bad and work it out for the good of you. So, you know, and that's mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, you know, environmentally. He'll take it all and he'll put it in a new format. You know, as Chadwick goodness. I often quote Kevin Boltzmann because he's the young man, of course, that passed away with cancer last year that played the Black Panther. And he said, sometimes we have to take the hard road. We take the most difficult road that's pulling us to the challenge point in life to create the best out of us. And I think that's what happens when we don't have the love of our mother or have that component early in life. You know, that is the hard road. That's the hard road.
That is.
But it brings out, if you allow it, some people get very bitter and it destroys them. But then you have some that literally, like, okay, this is what's happening. This is what I've been dealt. And I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I will not be a victim. But I'm going to be a victor. So that right there changes everything. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Dr. Deb, I'm Dr. Deb, and with my wonderful smiling co-host. You should see the smile, y'all. It's awesome. Now you're on those teeth. It is awesome. Wonderful, wonderful. And I thank you, Facebook fam, for joining us this morning. Our topic is for those who just getting on Living Without a Mother's Love and Nurture.
Yeah, we've got a caller who'd like to speak as well, if you'd like to bring
Oh, up. Absolutely. Let's go ahead and get
All right. So, area code 336. I believe our dear Mama AZ is on the line. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, Dr. Lateef and Dr. Green and family and Dr. V especially. How are you this new day?
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Well, you know, I'm AWOL family. I'm not in the facility. I was supposed to be back Sunday, but I decided I'm gonna stay home in my apartment and gather my thoughts and my mind, body, and spirit and do some loving on me and not in that facility. You know, I came from alcoholic parents as well, and that's what created the alcohol fetal syndrome that I've been dealing with since I was in the womb. And when I found out from my chiropractor in North Carolina that was the situation, because I was, 32, and he told me I had bones of a 70-year-old person, and he believed that it was from alcohol fetal syndrome. And I was angry because of lack of understanding. And keep in mind, family, I was just in my early 30s, and I couldn't have a reasoning with my mom because she left the planet when I was 27 from cirrhosis of the liver. And I love my mom. Please do not take this out of context. But the ancestors brought me to North Carolina in 79, and that was the beginning of my awakening spiritually, with meditation and transcendental meditation and all of these other components that created who I am today. And one of the major things that I learned from Caucasian people is that we choose our parents. We choose what lessons that we learn in this lifetime or other lifetimes. Our soul is the director of the lessons that we come to the planet to be a part of. And that was a very, very hard lesson, especially coming from Caucasian people who were my teachers at that time to get me in the loop of learning these things. Everything happens for a reason, and we must forgive our mothers. And even if they're not here for us to have a reasoning with, family, write a letter, talk to them. They're right there on the other side actually helping, because what they didn't know on this side, they see now, and all you need to do is just ask for help, and you will be guided in a good way, because they see things that they didn't see on this side for whatever reason, and I've noticed for a fact. So we must forgive, family. We must forgive. And thank you so much, Dr. V, for being in this lifetime with me. And I love you so dearly, you and Minister. I really do. Thank us, and thank you, Dr. Green and Dr. Lateef, for this platform. Thank us. That's all I say right now. Thank us.
You know, I'd like to ask, Mama AZ, I'd like to ask you, now that you are aware that this is
life that you chose to experience coming through a mother that whatever her reasons of distress were that caused her to turn to alcohol affected you physically because of her addiction and the difficulties you had in your life because of that. After going through that experience and then, of course, where you are now even experiencing the results of her addiction, what do you think you learned from this particular life experience, and what would you advise for someone else who may have had a similar experience of having been born from an alcoholic mother?
That's an awesome question. And by the way, family, I'd like to dedicate this to my daughter, Shannon. We have no connection. She's my firstborn, and it kind of bothers me, but I know she has her journey, and I was only the gateway to get her back to the planet to do her journey. And if she ever listens to this in the archives, know that I love you, Shannon, and I understand and overstand that I was the one to get you back here, baby. And I love you, and I appreciate you being my child and choosing me. Now, what I learned from that this experience, Dr. Lateef, is how not to be an alcoholic. Similar to what Dr. V said she eventually learned, it was to the point that if I had two beers, I would wake up with an excruciating headache, and that was my body's mechanism to protect me. I learned how not to be that with my body, and as I said earlier, it was anger because my dad told me that, you know, they had access because they worked for some of the richest people on the planet to good alcohol. But my mom, she wanted to get the rock good 25 cent alcohol and drink it while she was carrying me. And all of us, four children, we all had issues. My baby sister transferred at 40 in Seattle. She moved to Seattle so she could get all the drugs that she wanted with the ease. That's what Seattle does, Washington. They give you what you want, drug-wise. Anyway, I learned from that how to be in the environment of healthy eating. 15 years, I was a vegan, trying to grow my bone back. It taught me how to reach out to resources of health. And even my mom, at the tail end of her life, she taught me how to go to the herbs and the golden seals and all of that. Edgar Casey, she introduced me to Edgar Casey. And even though she was in that realm, she also was in a realm of transcendental meditation and metaphysics. And I didn't know this until I moved to North Carolina. And I'm like, wow. So that's what being a child or a product of that from my mom and my dad, because he was an alcoholic too, It taught me. It taught me how to teach other people how not to drink if they're pregnant, or if they want to have a child, how to eat, how to be mentally with the body. I learned this from that experience, and yes, it's painful physically, but it also gave me the determination to rise above that in many, many ways. I hope that answers your question, Dr. Lateef.
Yes, absolutely. Just look at the strength that you develop as a result of having to face a painful situation. And what I've learned is the way we grow spiritually is when we grow in our capacity to forgive, because that is when we develop compassion for people. And sometimes you're challenged to forgive the unforgivable. You know, somebody like Minister Cynthia has shared her story of a father who sexually abused her. And later in life, she had to be his caretaker and had to forgive him for all the trauma that he had put her through as a child. And so this is how our soul grows exponentially, the capacity to forgive. And at some point, I'm going to invite a guest on who will even give us insight about the experience of the one we know as Jesus, who everybody associates with just this tremendous power of forgiveness, but what his life actually not only did for him in terms of elevation of a soul, but also in demonstrating the transformative powers of forgiveness when you can understand that a person only acted according to their highest level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can understand that, then you don't take it personally if they do something hurtful to you. You don't hold on to that anger and allow it to destroy you. And you can still love them even when they are unloving toward you because they are unloving toward themselves. You can have compassion for them, even people who do something as unspeakable as murder. You can still love and forgive, and that's when your soul has reached that point of the love of the Creator, which is unconditional, because there's understanding that we're only demonstrating our highest level of consciousness through our actions. And some of us are at very low levels where we don't understand love because we haven't received love. And I'll share with you a recent information that I received, even about Adolf Hitler, someone who the name just evokes feelings of pain because of all the pain that he gave, and understanding that his life was a demonstration of what happens when you have no love, when you have no love for yourself. All you have is ego, hate, anger, how it manifests, and the sickness in your soul when that's what's inside of you. But even realizing that someone on that level, when they transition, as Mama AZ says, on the other side, you see clearly what your sickness was. And you're even given the opportunity to help other souls who have that same sickness, because you can identify, just like you have a lot of people on this side when they maybe made bad decisions, ended up in prison, and then something happens where they see the light and go through a transformation. Well, now they're in a position to help others who are in that same level of self-degradation to understand where they're making mistakes, where their pain lies, so that they can evolve out of that level of self-contempt and expression of hurt toward others. So even our worst experiences, even as our worst selves, we have to first forgive ourselves, because guilt is unforgiveness of the self.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can forgive yourself and understand yourself and have compassion for yourself as having acted at a time of your most unconscious, maybe you stole something, maybe you assaulted someone, maybe you even murdered someone, maybe you tried to murder someone, maybe you did something so heinous to someone that it would seem unforgivable, but you have to know what it was that was inside of you that was being expressed, and generally it was the absence of love
And so when you know that and you can forgive yourself and you can forgive the parents or whoever it was that gave you that experience of non-love, then you can begin to heal. And then you can begin to be a healing source for those who are where you were when you didn't know any better, when you couldn't see, when you didn't understand, when you were at a low level of consciousness. So we're all here to help each other, whatever our life path is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's here is here to help everybody who's here.
Dr. Chief.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Grand Rising, beautiful queen teachers. This subject is so on time. So many of us never had a mother's love.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up in our lives sometimes in a destructive way. Absolutely. You are dead on point with that. And we also have Carolyn Hunter. I'm really enjoying this segment. It's just a reminder how much God loves us. And just like Dr. Green said, he will give us whatever we need. He will also send others to fill those places so that we don't live a defeated life. One thing I wanted to kind of go into the emotional areas as well as the mental concepts of this, because there were some really key pointers that was actually where Mama AZ, I'm going to say Dr. AZ.
Hey, I guess she earned that title. Yes.
Mama AZ, you said something that you were looking at your siblings and what happened to them and then the choice you made. You see, one has to make a choice to either be dysfunctional or functional. You know, no matter where they came from, no matter what they experienced, no matter what they grew up around or didn't have or did have, you have to make that choice. And sometimes that choice is not made immediately. It's made once you go through some things, right? When you realize that, oh, I have a choice to either be this or that. And whenever you make those choices, that's when everything starts to shift into what they call a whirlwind of different consequences situations. Okay, for example, like you said, I believe you said it was your sister that went to an area that she received more drugs, you know. So she was on that mindset of what they call, you know, self-defeat, self-sabotage. Because you know if you do this, you're hurting yourself. But then there was something inside of her that didn't connect. And it was something inside of you that did. So, and see, this is how things start to change. And as Zelda said, some things are going into a destructive pattern, and then some things are going into a healing pattern. But it's all a choice. When we make that choice to heal, healing will do its greatest work in us once we give it permission. If we don't give it permission, it can't do it because healing is attached to hope. Hope is attached to peace, and it's attached to self-awareness. Don't you know one that has total peace has total self-awareness? Because it's nothing getting in your way. It's nothing that's clouding your judgment. You know, and again, the components of life are only there to teach us what to do, how to do it, and what not to do. It is not there, a lot of people, when we hold on to past painful areas, I call it unnecessary suffering. Because it's unnecessary for you to look at it as something that is tearing you down. It's unnecessary for you to allow it to, you know, take your being, mind, body, and soul, and rip it to shreds. We can't do that. How can one live the abundant life, but most of all, the ability to thrive and survive and be successful, if they're so busy tearing down the foundation? We are foundations in this life. And just like a house is nothing without its foundation.
Absolutely.
Your soul is your foundation, right? And it's attached to your memory. It's attached to every component in your life. But one must realize, am I self-destructing or am I self-healing? So there's two different things. There's no greater shared. There's no gray shaded area.
Yeah.
You can't do one and then do the other. No. Eventually, one is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
One is going to win. And you'll know when it's winning. When your life cannot thrive, when your relationships constantly fail, when you seem to be very unhappy with yourself in all areas, you may feel like a failure, you may feel unloved, you begin to get bitter, you hold unforgiveness. Okay, that's self-destruction. That is total self-destruction. So how do we change that mindset? Well, I say we take what they call steps of love, steps of compassion, steps of what they call switching to soothe.
Ooh.
You know, just like a baby. A baby can only be soothed with movement,
yeah.
with comfort,
yeah.
with warmth.
Yeah.
So we have to do the same thing to ourselves. Switching to soothe with comfort. What is your comfort zone?
Mm.
And it's not pain. Some people get so comfortable with pain, they don't even know it's there anymore.
They just think it's the state of being you should be in. We got to take our last break, but definitely want to hear more about that, how you take those steps to soothe, and how do you
Absolutely.
Know what you're doing is soothing and not self-medicating in a way that's destructive.
Bye.
So we'll be right back, y'all.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse
Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
With Dr. Deb, with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif. Yes, and we were talking, this is on the top of the hour here. Our topic for today was living without a mother's love or nurture and how it's affected us, you know, affected our emotions, our ability to make choices, our lives in general, and knowing that it is a component that we need, but it's also a choice in the matter. So before we went to break, I was talking about switching the spoon. And I believe that that's something that we all need to do from time to time. We need to switch the spoon. So sometimes when we get to a point where we don't have the love we need, you know, in the moment, or even if we grew up without it, we need to learn to switch the suits. And switch the suits is actually steps. There are steps that you can take so that you can give your inner person what it needs. Because we take care of the outer body, you know. For ladies, we may put on makeup, get our hair done, go and get pedicures or whatever the case may be. But when we don't love our internal, then it goes without. And again, we look for that love component to come from on the outside. Someone to say, I love you. Someone to tell you that you're doing a great job, that you're wonderful, you know, that, you know, I mean, all of the things that we would normally look for in people, you know, and in situations. But what if it's not there? What if it's that you might have had bouts in your life where you didn't experience that? You know, that it seems like you think that nobody cares. Nobody wants to know how you're doing or call and check on you or anything like that. Well, switching the spoon is where you take the time. You take the time out of your 24-hour day and give you what you need. And that could be something as, for ladies, you know, when was the last time that you actually went and got a massage? Or you might have just went to do just take a day for yourself. Take yourself out to lunch, you know, or do something that you enjoy. If you enjoy beautiful art, go to an art museum, or if you like going to a paint class. I mean, there's so many things that you can do to let you know that, hey, I appreciate you, you know.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. I know sometimes things are not, you know, we do this, it's called self-reflective therapy, you know. That's what it is. And you should show yourself that from time to time, because we give everything to everyone else.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting what you say about taking yourself out to lunch. My sister and I were talking a while back, and she was saying it was years before she could go into a restaurant by herself because she always felt bad being alone. And then finally she got to the point where she could go and enjoy her own company. And I think that's something we have to get to a point where you enjoy your own company. I mean, how can someone else enjoy yourself if you don't enjoy yourself, if you don't enjoy being with you? So, as you say, it has to come from the inside. But I have a question. I'm trying to remember the name of the book that I read, but the author, she had struggled with weight, you know, a weight problem, and she had a mother who was unaffectionate, you know, unreinforcing, you know, very harsh, critical. Only time she ever touched her was a slap or a hit, never, you know, a hug or a caress. Just, you know, just one of those mothers that was stern and unaffectionate. And so she overate. Food gave her comfort. And in the book, she reflects on the fact that her mother's non-love always triggered her eating. You know, if her mother was in something harsh to her, then she'd go and, you know, have this urge to get a piece of chocolate cake. I mean, because she was just associating food with comfort that she wasn't getting from her mother. And I'm wondering, can people recognize when that's a pattern, when perhaps you eat and even overeat as a response to not getting love as a way to comfort yourself? And the other question, and maybe somebody out there knows the answer, when your children cry, and how many parents stick something in the child's mouth to shut them up? So is that even creating a pattern of rather than me picking you up, hugging you, you know, walking with you and soothing you, I stick food in your mouth to shut you up. So that becomes setting a pattern for when I need comfort, what I get instead is food. So as I grow into an adult, I'm going to end up with a weight problem because I'm going to overeat because I'm going to turn to food every time I don't get the comfort that I need. What do you think about that?
Well, there's two different areas I want to address in those two different questions, but this is really going to ring clear for those. That's an oral fixation. Anything that's put in the mouth is an oral fixation. And when we don't have our mother's love, believe it or not, if it's not given into a genuine, innately, what they call a natural giving nature of it, we literally create. It creates an oral fixation of addiction. Addiction can go from food, it could be alcohol, drugs, or whatever it's putting in the mouth. It's putting in the mouth. And also as a child, when a child is used, well, let's just say like this, when a mother uses another tangible thing to soothe a child other than literally body warmth and comfort, then that child will also look outside of itself to look for those things. It's not going to look for the comfort in itself. It will look in the tangible into another person, what another person can give, what a tangible thing such as money or, you know, it will just look in something that is not what they call invisible. You know, it has to have it's tangible. It's a solid mass to it. And that's what they think. They think this thing on the outside of me helps me to love me.
Mm.
It soothes me. So food is one of those soothers. It's like, you know, it helps to them. You know, it's really a habit, just like any other addiction. and they really don't have the total connection of it until they go through some type of therapeutic process, and then they'll realize, you mean tell me all this time I have been soothing myself with food and replacing that void with because of something I didn't have?
And that's, yes. A lot of times you see people gain weight maybe after a breakup or maybe even a death of a parent or something, and just something is gone, that outside source, then food becomes the substitute.
They get emotionally attached
to
the food.
We've got a caller on the line if you want to
absolutely.
Caller. Area code 773-436.
Hallelujah greetings, Global Transformers and Solutionaries. This is Mama D, Grand Rising. I'm so glad, Naima, that you brought up the oral sensations, thumb sucking, cigarette and pipe smoking and drinking, all putting something in the mouth. All human beings seek comfort. I've said it on this program before. During Hitler's reign, he had an experiment of two groups of children. One group he fed and clothed and played with. The other group he just fed and clothed. That group died. Every single one of those children died. They called it Erasmus, I believe, and also they referred to it as the lack of love. You say living without a mother.
On that actually earlier, and that was so profound because it helps you to realize that you need more than food.
Right, and living without a mother's love, when your mother is your first teacher, that leaves a scar on your soul that says, why am I so awful that my own mother does not love me? You see, what is profound is a Montessori educator, we educate the subconscious brain of children under the age of 4, and that brain never forgets. You might not be conscious of it, but that brain never forgets, and it really determines the actions of the conscious brain. So they are trying to treat you as an adult, your injury is somewhere rooted in childhood all the time. And even the multiple personalities, people can't tolerate the abuse, so they just freak out in their minds and go somewhere else. When I was watching the Aretha Franklin story, I found that very interesting. Whenever she was sexually molested, having a baby, what was it, at age 12? Whenever she was sexually molested, she freaked out. She went somewhere else in her brain, and she just left. And I think about Maya Angelou, when she was raped at age 7. How she would, for 7 years, she didn't even speak. People freak out emotionally when that trauma is just so uncomfortable, even staying in the subconscious brain. You can't even find comfort there. And you just freak out into another person, into another world, into all kinds of things. And, that's why today, to me, it's heartbreaking when we hear things like, oh, you're blaming the white man for your condition. Oh, you're blaming. Look, I remember when people used to spank their children, they would say, shut up, or I'll give you something to cry for. You've already given them something to cry for. They're in pain. They're hurt. You didn't send the woman on them. But they made you muffle your feelings. Shut up. So we have this damage on us because what happened to us never happened to anybody else. The United Nations called it the greatest Holocaust in the history of humankind. and we don't even give ourselves the luxury of saying we were victimized. But we can find everybody else victimized. Oh, look at those poor people, what happened during the Holocaust. That was only 4 years. Oh, what about the Native Americans? Oh, we got this sympathy and empathy for everybody but our own selves, because we have been taught to hate self, and that is an unnatural condition. And until we face that, we're going to have problems facing all these other issues that plague us. What do you think?
Well, you know, Mama D, when you speak about the beatings, I recently saw a video that Oprah Winfrey made, and she was talking about her relationship between her mother, also, you know, another person who speaks about having an unloving mother, or mother that was not there, and then she was raised by a grandmother who, you know, had the old South mentality, you know, whip your child, you know, go get a switch off the tree to beat yourself with, or for me to beat you with, you know, go and select the thing that I'm going to cause you pain with. So that the emotions of that, and then how her grandmother whipping her and then telling her, stop your crying, now put a smile on your face. Like you're saying, you know, act like it didn't happen. And so Oprah said she realized that created a pain body in her, and of course the eating and the weight struggle that she's had kind of manifests that pain that she's carrying from that experience with her grandmother. And of course we know that those whipping incidences, you know, kind of evolved from the whole slave experience and the belief that you had to break the spirit of your child so that they wouldn't be broken later on. But that's something we've got to unlearn. We have to, those of us who were raised by parents who still had that thinking, we have to learn from that so that we learn not to be that. Just like Viata and Mama AZ are saying, you learn by experiencing what you should not experience.
Yes.
From that you learn, this is what I don't want, this is what I'm not going to do, this is what I'm not going to continue. And so this is where we are in this generation. We've seen all we've had all the experiences of what happens when people are unloving, when people are lacking compassion, when people are cruel. We've experienced all that for the purpose of creating a new earth in which that does not exist. That was the purpose of those experiences. So even when we look back at racial injustice, this generation is learning from the previous generations, this is what you don't want. Because the kind of society that you create is one that's very unloving, very unsafe, very fearful, people hurting each other. This is what we don't want. So now that we know what we don't want, let us evolve into the compassionate people who can forgive those who did the wrong, and then we can manifest what is right.
Correct. And move on. And don't let fear be the component that takes away from your life.
Yes.
Again, one cannot live outside of itself.
Yes. And
you can try all you want, but it won't happen.
Thank you all.
You can only thrive within. Once you understand and you have a self-discovery and allow yourself to switch to food, and then once you learn those components of self-love, self-discipline, self-awareness, you know, your subconscious, train your subconscious to love you all over again, not from the damage of the past.
Absolutely. You know, I think the most difficult challenge, and we're all going through a challenge, someone in our life has hurt us so badly that it's difficult to forgive. But they are in your life to give you the opportunity to boost yourself up that next notch of spiritual evolution, forgiveness. And if you've had a mother, the person closest to you, that was the one that hurt you, that's the biggest challenge, being able to forgive that one that you depended on for life for having hurt you so deeply, being able to have the compassion for her for whatever may have happened in her life. And maybe you can discover what it was that caused her either to not be able to show you love or not be able to encourage you. But whatever it was, being able to forgive her. That is, and there have been several people who've reached major levels of success because they were able to forgive that parent that hurt them. And it's like everything opened up after that. That was the barrier to the flow of abundance that they needed. They couldn't let go of anger toward that parent. Now, before
yes.
Wayne Dyer has said it.
Others
said it. Oprah has said it.
Yes.
So many people who are, Tyler Perry has said it, forgiving his father. It's like that was the moment when everything opened up, when they could forgive the parent that hurt
mm-hmm.
them.
And keep going.
And keep going.
Keep going. Thank you so much for joining us today and Soul for Solutions. And I am Dr. Deb, and that's my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif. Such a wonderful topic, but most of all, such a needed topic. A needed topic. If you want to know more information, please feel free to email me at soulfulsolutions, with an S, 77, at gmail.com. soulfulsolutions@gmail.com.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our book, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.